Hello and welcome to the We Are Birmingham podcast. I'm Chris Golding.
I'm Matthew Elliott.
And as always, from now on, we are joined by the vegan. Hi, Dave.
Afternoon.
I wish it was afternoon. It's bloody evening.
Definitely evening. I'm feeling quite tired.
Yes, so am I. And you've kept us waiting to record this. And we've got to edit afterwards.
I was at a family evening out at a local water park. I was
pissing
going
in your
down slides and going over obstacle courses, and I may have kept myself warm by a quick pee in my wetsuit. Yes.
Nice.
Thanks
time
for sharing that with everybody, Chris. It was excellent. Yeah,
if you tell me, it's not in confidence, you know that.
Very true. Yeah, you probably shouldn't tell you 5 minutes before we go on to a podcast either. But still,
definitely using that, especially when you're like an hour and a half late.
Oh, come on! I gave you a pre-warning. I was going to be late, so.
And then you were still late.
And then another half an hour late. It took me a lot longer to get out of a wetsuit than I realised it was.
Are you late because you were pissing in the wetsuit, or was that just?
No, it was just a little bit further away than I realised, and getting out of a wetsuit took longer than I thought, and getting little people out of a wetsuit, getting dried and stuff, took a lot longer than I thought. So, yes, there was a bit of a delay. I apologise. Only to you guys, though, to nobody else, because nobody else cares, because they'll listen to this at their leisure.
That's true. It's not going to delay them, is it? It's out when it's out. Can we also mention that you had a little bit of a paddy before we started recording, and you now have no microphone, no headset.
I've got no working headset. It's been a very stressful couple of days, and apparently my headset decided it didn't want to work, so I'm currently using AirPods and the mic on the Mac. And I hope so. Hopefully we get through this for 1 week, then I'll get something a little bit more.
You might pick up some background audio, and when you start slamming on the desk, you might hear a bit of echoing. But
I'm going to try and keep my hands to myself.
How many pieces is the headset in now?
Just the three. In half, and then the microphone pulled off completely.
I think that might be why it's not working now.
It's not definitely not working now. Yeah.
So, shall we get into it?
Yeah, let's actually talk about football and whatnot. You know, that's what we're here to do, aren't we? Birmingham City. So,
yeah, it is. Peterborough United.
Yeah, that's pretty bad, wasn't it, for the most part?
It's a friendly. Don't read too much into friendlies. We keep saying this every season. Wait for the real ball to come out. Managers say it all the time. We did say it last time.
We said it last week when we were winning over the last few games, but the way we conceded those goals was fairly concerning. But keep in mind that maybe only Deion Sanderson will be the only regular in that team, in that defence, going forward. You'd expect, obviously, when Ethan Laird will play right back and Lee Buchanan will play left back, and you would hope that Sanderson's going to have another partner back there that isn't Mr. Roberts.
Yeah, we've spoken about him before, haven't we? In fact, I think we spoke about him on the podcast that didn't get released.
And the original one, yes. I didn't actually watch the full game. I've just skipped through it later in the day because I realised I actually got it. Blues TV had given me it for free because they cocked up the previous week, so I'd sort of skimmed through it, but maybe culpable for the first one, but both fullbacks took a bit of a battering defensively.
But like you say, when three of that back four arguably aren't going to be starting, don't read too much into it. It's going to be a different back line, pretty much, give or take.
We would hope there'll be another forward entering the equation at some point next few weeks.
We've been hoping that for a long time.
We have. I think this window, we probably will see somebody. It's probably going to be a low for Premier League, as we've already said. But it was nice to see Jugovic get on the score sheet again because he scored a couple in pre-season. And really important for Hogan, and it was a one-on-one where he was through on goal.
You mean the type of opportunities that he doesn't take?
That he normally doesn't take, and I think that will probably do him the world of good in terms of confidence. So going into that Swansea game, I think I'm sure he's got a fairly good record against Swansea as well. I'm sure he scored a couple against them in the past. So fingers crossed, this is the start of his streak now, where we'll maybe score five or six goals, then probably have a barren spell for about 3 months. But
we weren't recording a podcast at the time. But do you remember the bet that I put on last season? Scott Hogan to be the division top scorer after he'd scored 10 goals, and he was right up there with the other top scorers. And as soon as I placed that bet, he didn't score again.
So I cursed him. Exactly, he's a lame on that one.
Yeah, I cursed him.
Yeah, so as you said at the start, it's all about minutes in the legs. It's a pretty common phrase at the moment. It seems to be the in thing this pre-season. But yeah, it just getting those minutes into the players, getting them fit, ready for this weekend against Swansea.
Well, we put it out there to people. We asked if it was minutes in the legs, if that's all that friendlies were about. Put it out for 15-second opinions. Let's hear them.
15-second opinion.
Hi lads, I think friendlies are for minutes in legs, etc., formations and things like that. I'm still concerned with our centre-halves, apart from Sanderson, whether they can play the football you just want them to play. Really worried about, we've only got really two strikers that we've had for the last 2-3 years, so scoring goals from the strikers might be a problem.
The takeover has created a positive feeling around the club, but as fans we've got to channel it in the right way. The Blues are building from a starting point 3 or 4 years behind other decent championship clubs. So we have to stay grounded, we have to be realistic, and we have to understand it's not going to happen overnight. Let's have some patience and let's get behind the team. Keep right on.
Hello there, lads. It's good to have you guys back with the new version of the podcast. It sounds great so far. Highly doubt that one preseason game with not even our starting 11 is anything to go by, but the real test will be against Swansea. Keep right on.
Still need that striker, boys. Went to Peterborough the weekend. I know it's only minutes in the legs, but yeah, we're still a little bit short. Another striker and another centre-back, please.
Hiya, lads. Just out here with an opinion that probably save on hiring world-class point pullers. Bottle beers on the concourses, on the concessions. Proper points in the bars. Cheers, lads. Bye.
So I think that was Paul Delves there saying that to save on employing, I can't talk tonight, employing world-class pint pullers that you mentioned last week, that just serve it in bottles in the concourse. What a fantastic idea.
I mean, plastic bottles, or what are we talking here?
Well, plastic bottles? Have you not been to games where they've served it in bottles?
I don't drink alcohol, Chris, for you know that.
yeah. Of course, mate, of course. It's a really quick way of serving beer. You get through your queue in no time at all. And to be fair, queues are another thing. I think that while they're investing in the kiosks and what are they called? Concession stands, concession areas, stick some railing up. So that there is a queuing system, and it's not
bring
just
back
a free
fast pay.
Don't bring back fast pay.
just
have contactless. Contactless. So like every fucker in the world is using contactless. Oh, we've got this thing called fast pay, and it's actually slower than using contactless.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Absolutely dreadful.
But bring in a queuing system, just rails that go back and forth, take up a little bit of space. You'll get through all of your customers in no time. People know where they are. And bottles or pre-pulled pints, dish. There you go. Job done. That needs to be looked at. It needs to be addressed. But for me, a queuing system is the priority. Because how many times do you stand there and actually benefit from the queue? You can see everyone going either side of you, falling at the front.
Oh, it's mad frustrating. And unless you leave about sort of 10 minutes before half time, get to the front. Like.
And then they close the shutters. It's like, fuck, yep. I haven't had a beer yet. Anyway,
Anyway, on to the minutes in the legs.
Minutes in the legs. We've mentioned lots of defenders. Minutes in the legs. Lots of minutes in the legs. Mentioned defenders. Or lack of, no, not lack of them, but a change first in defence.
Yeah.
Mentioned strikers. How I think we do need someone. I think it's concerning if we go into this, into the start of this season, maybe not the start of the season, but past the transfer deadline, and we haven't bought someone in. I think it's probably getting a bit close now. Something, a deal might be done before Saturday, but I think it's more get it done before the deadline. But I'd be really concerned if we haven't done something by deadline day.
I feel confident enough that they'll go out there and get someone, even if they're going to take a flyer on somebody. Maybe it'll be a Premier League loan, potentially someone that hasn't really cut their teeth in pro football, in professional football yet, outside of the Premier League development leagues. Something like that, I think, is probably likely. We've seen a few moves made already with people like Liam Delap. He's gone to Hull, and Josh Marsh has gone to Baggies now as well, hasn't he? So that was one that I think a lot of people thought we might be interested in. That doesn't seem like we were interested in that one at all.
And that one to me says that there's something lined up, because if they weren't looking at someone, I know he's hardly lit the world alight when he's played in England. He's done all right, but he hasn't shone massively. Did all right in, did quite well in France. Was it their Division 2?
In their Division 2, but I think a lot of them were penalties he scored last season. I think about maybe 9 or 10 goals were penalties last season. So
still got to score them.
But he would have offered something different. We do need someone a little bit more mobile. I think we've said it 100 times, actually. You kind of almost want somebody in that sort of Donaldson role that would never really replaced him properly. Based on the business we've done so far, I feel confident enough that they will bring something in. We've got a bit of creativity behind the forward line anyway. We spoke about that last week. We definitely need another centre back as well, which we mentioned last week also.
We do. We've mentioned it already today. We mentioned it last week. And trust is now gone. Well, gone or going. I don't know if it's been confirmed yet, but
it was very close to Sheffield United, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'm not sure whether it's been completed and announced and whatever. I'd love to just go in there last minute. 5 million. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll match it. We'll get him here because he loved it. Player of the season last year. And ultimately, not going to happen. You know, there are options. There are other options. And we said last week that hopefully now it looks like they're doing first choice, second choice, third choice, and working the way through. And maybe that's why names have been linked.
It's been very quiet, actually, I think, the past few weeks, other than the past week or so. There doesn't seem to be a lot raised its head. I saw a link to that Omar Rekic again. I really don't think there's much in that one.
But again, last week you said with him that might just be Arsenal offering him to us, and that's where the noise is coming from. Now, if we get desperate, he might be fourth or fifth choice. So that might happen later on.
As if we get desperate and Dean's get close, I wouldn't be surprised if we looked at someone like Jonathan Panzo at Nottingham Forest, who spent last season at Coventry and did pretty well. I think he played about 30 odd games. He's a left-sided centre back, ball playing centre back, and can get stuck in. So wouldn't surprise me if we looked at someone like him as well. But we definitely need somebody. I'm not comfortable going in to a back four, going into the season with the back four that we've got at the moment. We don't even know if Ethan Laird's going to be fit as well for Saturday. I know they've sort of left him out, but it was kind of, he was, Eustace was non-committal on that injury when he was talking about him. Didn't really seem to know which is kind of common theme for Eustace. He kind of flat bats a lot of stuff, doesn't he? And
play it coy.
There's a thing that's allowed on air that mentioned about just channeling our expectations this season. And, you know, there's a lot of excitement around the new owners and the players we brought in. I think we said it last week, and I think somebody else mentioned it on the 15 Second Opinion last week. We can't get too carried away, but I think we've had such a long time of just turgid, just depressed football and stuff off the field that, you know, we all have the right to be excited about the new era, what might happen this season. We said it last week, it's still going to be a bit of a slog. I think we will do better. I'm confident we will do better, but we shouldn't expect the world. So, but it's the foundation. We'll build the foundation for the next season and the season after, hopefully.
So that's it.
Totally on board with that.
We're starting afresh. Essentially, we are starting afresh. A clean slate from, no, not top to bottom, because it's not all the way down. But generally, it's a clean slate. We've got a lot of new players that have come in. That was probably one of the benefits of having a squad of basically a clear out of contracts and the loan players that were leaving and even selling a few players. It's that clean slate that we have got in terms of the playing squad. Eustace is still in charge, and I think that we mentioned he deserves that opportunity.
Absolutely.
And now it's like, right, okay, we're going to build, go forward with it. Baby steps, maybe not even baby steps, toddler steps. You know, just build a little bit, little by little. And don't, like you say, don't, and like we said on there, don't expect too much. Just enjoy it. And as long as we're not in trouble, we can all enjoy it together.
100%. And that's what I think, that's what we just got to sit back and let this season pan out, how it pans out. And there will be some really high moments. I think we've got some really exciting players. And there's going to be loads of exciting stuff going on off the pitch as well.
Yeah. But on the pitch, it's going to be a fucking tough season as well, because there's a lot of good teams in this division. And there's a lot of teams that are that not so good, but are building, adding to their squads. I mean, you've got Ipswich that have come up, and they look like they're going to have a really good go at it this season. Not maybe not promotion worthy, they've got a decent squad, haven't they? So it's going to be a tough season.
Teams that come down, you can't count any of them out. Coventry are going to be in that mix again. They look like they've got a really strong squad. They've obviously they sold Jokeres, but they've brought in a couple of strikers to replace him. Got a bit of money in the bank there. They've really sort of, that squad looks a lot stronger than it was last season. You've got Middlesbrough as well, who I think, you know, were playing some sensational football under Michael Carrick last season, and they've strengthened a bit as well. It's going to be really tough. I at least feel confident that we're not going to be dragged into a relegation battle again, though.
If you enjoy our podcast, please don't forget to like, share and comment on social media.
And if the podcast platform allows it, please rate and review us.
Cheers, guys.
Right, gents, we're going to move on to talking about the new kits, which were launched last Thursday.
Officially.
Officially launched after the
2 weeks ago.
So unfortunately, I don't think either of them came as a surprise to a lot of people, but it's nice to get them officially out there.
On that point, a lot of people have been saying that the leaks and stuff have taken away from the hard work of the staff at the club, that the video that was put out with JK that I know you two aren't a huge fan of, but
the video was great.
You know, it's a song. It's a song.
Is it actually a song?
Anyway.
It's fine.
You two weren't fans, but you are not the target audience. Whereas young me, I am the target audience, and I enjoyed it.
Honestly, but some of the stuff that me and Dave share with each other musically, you'd be surprised. Yeah.
Clarify that.
anyway, what the club were going to put out was fantastic. We've all seen it now. Oh, I thought it was a great kit release. apparently, and this is what I've been told, so it's not 100%, but I believe it. Undefeated wanted creative control over the kit launch, being the new sponsors. This was after the video had been produced. The video then got pulled and put on ice. And then they've done, Undefeated have done the kit launch along with, so potentially we've been told that they've orchestrated the leaks as well as part of their brand, their Moody brand. And then the video has been put out after because it's what would have been, it was already prepared. Why not use it because it's there? So I'm going to say maybe it wasn't the leaks that stopped the official release and sort of played it down.
I think a lot of people seem to get a bee in their bonnet about that. And I think you're right. I don't think it was, had anything to do with it, to be perfectly honest. But what do you think about the kits anyway? What do you think about the actual kits? Let's not spend too long on it, but what's the general thoughts and feelings on it?
I think the away one is quite nice. I like the fact that that no kit is the same. No two kits are the same.
They're all slightly different. They're all using chopped up bits of excess
material.
They're
basically just using offcuts. They're just using offcuts because it's cheaper. But what they're saying is it's because it reduces waste, so it's good for the environment. I mean, you could just make headbands and stuff, couldn't you, out of it? No. Do you reduce the waste?
Birmingham City's awake instead. So.
But I actually quite like it, and I do like the fact that they're all a bit unique. They're all a little bit different. I think that's quite cool.
I mean, you predicted that when we were discussing this before we even thought about starting the podcast back up, we were thinking about what the kit's going to be like, and you actually sent me a picture of that kit, but it was yellow, wasn't it? I think.
Yeah.
Yellow and black. So you were spot on with the design you thought it was going to be.
I actually think I'd have gone for the yellow and black one, but at least it's not an off the shelf one.
In person. Yeah. But I say, I do buy the top, but it's really just to play football in on a Friday night or to go running in. And I never wear colours to football, which I don't know if that. Don't know how that makes me sound, but I don't wear it casually. It's just purely for sports. Home kit. Think? That was a bit Alan Partridge, wasn't it? Purely for sports. Just
accidental.
Accidental Partridge. Yeah, I did not mean that. What do you think of the home one with the look that looked like it's got some form of sound wave behind the sponsor?
I like it. I mean, I'm not. I think it's a grower. It's not my favourite. Maybe white cuffs and a white collar. It might have been a bit more blues, but it's all right. It's a bit different. I mean, it's a bit unique that it's not out there. I haven't seen any other teams that have had the same.
Yeah, I've not seen it either. Actually,
earthquakey. No, Hurricanes. Did the Hurricanes have a kit like that? Do you not remember the Hurricanes, the cartoon?
Vaguely, yes. I do remember. It's no Jossie's Giants, though, was it?
Maybe it was Earthquake out of WWF who had
he definitely had something like that on there. Yeah, because Earthquake and Typhoon was.
Yeah.
But how did you get Hurricane? Okay, I suppose so. Natural disasters.
And that was the tag team. Anyway, let's not get onto WWF. Yes. Yeah.
I preferred it when Typhoon was called Tugboat.
Anyway. Vegan, opinions?
Kits are such contentious things that, you know, it doesn't matter what you release. People are going to love it. People are going to hate it. People are going to buy it. I think I agree with you, Matthew, that it is nice to have something which you're not just seeing carbon copies of every other club revealing. It is a bit overly blue. Like you said, Chris, a bit more white on it might have been nice. But, yeah, it's great. I like the training wear as well, which we've seen.
The trainer wear I think is ace. I love that, and it's funny because I've seen a lot of teams' first team kits that are the same design as that training wear. So Sunderland's kit, if you, I don't know if you've seen it.
He's training wear.
That is the same design as our training wear.
No way.
So yeah, and I think there's a few like that as well. The one thing that does, I love the sponsor on the front, like the undefeated.
You don't like it on the back
logo. No, because what happens when we're 3-0 down to Plymouth Argyle in a few weeks' time, we've got undefeated written on the back of the shirt. It would have been fine as just like the tally marker thing that they've got on the front.
But it doesn't say undefeated. It says undefeated.
That's because they were eating a sandwich at the same time. But I mean, I think ultimately, as you sort of said there, if people like it, people that hate it, but those same people that hate it will end up buying it, or if they don't buy it for themselves, they'll buy it for their kid, because it's a habitual process for most football fans. If you buy shirts, you'll buy them whatever they look like, because you like repping your club. That's what people do. It starts conversations. You know, it's one of those things that people just buy if they like it or not. It doesn't really matter.
But some shirts, they launch, they release them, and they fly off the shelves. If you get the design right, like the yellow, was it Adidas a couple of years ago? It was the Nike one, the yellow with the blue pinstripes. It was Nike, because the badges were coming off.
European.
Yeah, the throwback.
That's it.
That kit launched. I went straight to the club shop and got it, and I'm sure hundreds or thousands of people did, because instantly it's a classic. It's like people love it. They go, they buy it. Now, people are going to buy shirts anyway, but if you've got a shirt that absolutely nails it, then you sell more, ultimately. Although at the moment, the deal that we've got with Just Sport and whatever that runs out at the end of the season, we're not blessed with options. I think they give us like three suggestions for kits, and you choose them. I mean, there are Sunday league teams that get more options than that, so...
And have we seen? I think they're all the home and the away are both sold out now, aren't they? I think the away sold out pretty quickly. It disappeared from the website and from the Blues app. I don't know if the home top is still. I don't know if the home top sold out yet. But
we were told that there might only be a few thousand that were actually bought in. And again, is this a limitation of Just Sport and
Just Sport?
Yeah. How they handle things, that
we it's can't be a concern.
Well, especially if Tom Brady has been spoken about. Tom Brady shows up in a blue shirt somewhere. People want to buy shirts. Oh, they're out of stock. Fucking fantastic. Where can I get it? We're sold out. Sorry.
Tom Brady in a blue shirt. Can you imagine? Up there with Cameron Brady in a blue shirt. Who wore it better? Which Brady wore it better?
Oh, that'll be a tough one. I'll have to see if that happens, eh?
It's what's underneath that counts.
We'll have to see if that happens, and then we'll put a vote out, see who wore it better.
Yeah, I reckon we could see Tom Brady very soon in a blue shirt. Predict my prediction.
How do you reckon?
I feel confident. It's going to happen. Tom Wagner's mate. Speaking of which, earlier this week, or might have been towards the end of last week, I saw a faceless Twitter/X account make a comment, which I think he was deadly serious, and he compared...
Hang on. Before we go on about it, do you want me to play this?
Aye, aye, aye. Send him to Cornea.
Yes, perfect timing. So he compared Carson Young and Steve McManaman to Tom Wagner and Tom Brady and said we should all just calm down a bit. People should get real. I don't know who this guy is. I very much doubt he listens to this podcast. Based on most of his timeline, I hope he doesn't. But he is going to Cornea.
I haven't looked at his timeline.
How you can compare Steve McManaman and Carson Young to Tom Wagner and Tom Brady is beyond me. So, Mr. whoever you were, dot 1875 SHA, whatever you are called, you are going to Cornea.
Aye, aye, aye. Send him to Cornea.
Chris, that leaves us another 7 days to set up another X account now, Twitter account, to wind Matthew up with something in preparation for this time next week.
I'll drop you a WhatsApp afterwards and we'll see what we can get in with.
We're like the virtual people behind you, Matthew. Virtual fans behind you.
Yeah, that is exactly what you are, and these Twitter accounts are. Yeah.
At Hannah. Yeah. let's not go down that route.
No. Thankfully, we were three people that never got into a conversation with fake Hannah. So I'm happy with that. Where do you want to go to next then, lads? So we had a nice stadium update last week as well. Or was it this week? Oh, I've got my timings are terrible.
And aside from the update, Colin Tatton put out his blog post. And did you see the part mm-hmm. that he mentioned about digital screens around the outside of the cup?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I like the idea of that a lot. Even if it's just a temporary thing, it'd be very good. I think there'll be a lot inside the stadium as well, actually, but that would be awesome.
And I can imagine it from the American lot as well, that's a, like...
Oh, yeah.
That's a thing.
Yeah. You're on the old Jumbotrons. They love that.
I'm really looking forward to it, though. I'm really looking forward to seeing what they... I know we spoke about it last week, so I don't want to get into it too much now, but just what they can do with St. Andrews while we're still there. It's exciting. I mean...
I've never been more excited by hot water.
I was going to say. It was such a lovely professional stadium update. And then it was like this sort of quirky comment at the end about hot water, which I thought was absolutely brilliant. And it kind of it was like, that's how we're all feeling at the moment. It was like, it was great to see it all. And then it was a bit of a laugh at the end and everyone was really happy about it. And it was just such a big thing that everyone just forgot about 95% of what was in that update. And just we're talking about hot water for like...
Do you know what?
What seemed like hours on social media.
The funny thing is, you could tell instantly people that don't wash their hands when they go for a piss because they're like, "What? There's no hot water." They just didn't know.
Sometimes you just can't be bothered queuing, mate.
Queuing for the hot water or queuing for the toilet?
Both. Just do it in my wetsuit, so it's fine.
But if anyone sees now Matthew in St. Andrews in a wetsuit, they know what's happening.
Well, you know the half-time entertainment for the coming season.
Yeah.
Matthew's water sports, basically.
Yeah. All right, lads, let's move on from that one quite swiftly. Talking about half-time entertainment and value for money on your ticket prices. Been a bit of feedback, a bit of uproar from a number of people on ticket prices. You two are season ticket holders.
Yeah.
So obviously it doesn't impact you as much, but general thoughts on those category A prices, because for me, I understand price increases. I think every club has to have to implement it this year, especially after COVID, etc. And you know, it's just the way things are. To me, that's just too much. Was it 40 quid?
It's 40 quid in the cup. I think cup and main stand, is it? I think Tilton's 35 quid. For category A. For me personally, I think £40 is too much. I think 30 is plenty for any of the normal seats in the ground. However, firstly, I'm not sure whether these prices were set by the new guys that have come in. I think they might have been, I don't know whether, not finalised, but put in place a little while back. We don't know who's signed off on these. It might have been that Gary Cook's had a look at them and gone, yeah, fine, just do it. So these might get reviewed in future. Not this season, obviously. They're there now. The other thing is, I can see us doing bundles. So get your next four games tickets and get basically pay £20 per game when you buy these four, which we've done in the past, and I could see us doing that again. And if it evens out that way, you're then encouraging people to come for four games, you're selling the tickets for those four games, and you know, then it's not bad business because the ticket prices spread over those four games are reasonable.
Are we still doing, I know previous seasons when certain away when you go to away games and they only charge like £20 the
reciprocal pricing.
Is that still a thing this year?
We've done it with Leeds. I don't know if that previous agreement is still in place with other clubs. I guess we'll just wait and find out. Or we could probably try and contact the club and see whether that's still in place for previous agreements. But I know that we've done it with Leeds, so it's something I think that Blues are open to doing. But I don't know. I wouldn't want to say yes.
What I will say is, I mean, I think it looks like they're pretty much the first home game is pretty much nearly sold out now, isn't it? There's not very many tickets left at all, if any. That we seem to be riding on a crest of a wave at present anyway, and it's like I said about the shirts, people will ultimately buy them anyway if they want to go to the, well, they'll find a way. It does price some people out of it, but I'm not sure. It's not going to put me off from coming. Looking at some of those prices, I just
this is the one bit that sort of gets me slightly. And you said it's not going to put people off coming if they're going to come. If you can't afford it, you don't go. But what I don't like seeing is that people, they get into debt for things that they enjoy doing. I'll put it on the credit card. I've got a loan for it. You don't like, these are the lifeblood of the club, of any club, the fans. True. They shouldn't be going into debt for it, for going and doing something that they enjoy, in my opinion. It should be season tickets. Yeah, people get them on finance, but that's more because it's easier to pay them over the season than it is to pay in one go.
Yeah, it's not easy just to whack a £400-£500 lump sum on something, is it? You've got nothing to show for,
especially at the moment.
Technically,
well, some people haven't got wallets.
Well, it was one wallet per household, isn't it? As opposed to one wallet per season ticket.
Yeah. I don't get that.
So, Chris, have you collected yours yet?
I've got mine.
I'm still waiting on mine to arrive. I haven't had anything since.
I haven't tweeted it. I haven't put it out on social media. I didn't know if you had to do that. If that was like a rite of passage to, like.
Oh yeah, you've got to put it on. You've got to put it on Twitter.
If you don't put it on social media, then you're not a season ticket holder. In the new era.
Yeah.
Did I go Australian again?
New era, mate.
New era.
So, but you were you got yours a bit later, didn't you, Dave? So yours probably
other than an email and the money disappearing out of my disappearing out the credit card, which it's been lumped on, and we'll work out how to pay it off in the future.
Don't want to send you a leather wallet since they know you're a vegan, so they don't want to upset you.
Yeah.
Not a vegan.
I'm sure.
One of the things which I think it's worth mentioning is nobody likes the prices going up, but if you can see improvements in the match day experience, do you think that kind of, you know, offsets any of the grumbling about the costs?
I think it could do, but it's a bit early for that because we don't know until we know, do we?
We don't know until we know. But for me, like I said before, I think 30 quid, 30, 35 at a push is plenty. For me, I think when you go above that, I think you price people out of it. That, like, Birmingham, our supporters are working class people and proud of it. Don't price them out of it. Don't price them out of something that they love.
The thing is, it's not just £30 or £40, though, is it? Because you go there, you're not necessarily on your own. If you might, you might take your kids. You're going to buy a drink, and buy something to eat. You might buy a program. You know, you're going to probably you travel to get there. So it's not just by the end of the day, you've maybe spent like nearly 100 quid or something. You know, so it's, you've got to take all these things into account. I mean, you could potentially look at something along the lines of, the old regime could never have done this. If you are going to charge £40, throw in a token for a drink and a burger, or a thing of chips and a drink, or something, or just a coffee in the winter, or hot chocolate or something like that. Just throw a couple of extra incentives in there to encourage people to spend that money, so it feels like they are getting a little bit more than just losing 3-0 to Plymouth Argyle.
Okay, then. Do you so when we see the railed seating areas finished, do you think then they may use that as a sort of point at which they stop and look at what have been charged for the standing prices?
I was just about to say that I think that might be something that comes in when there are more seats available. Obviously, at the moment, we're limited on how many seats that we've got in the stadium. I could very well see that later on in the season, the whole place is open. We don't know how the season's going to pan out, obviously. It might go well, and they might be selling tickets anyway. And they might think, oh, I don't need to. We don't need to give people free things. But yeah, down the line, when they need to sell tickets, that might be when the bundles come in, or have a free beer or have a free drink. That might come in further down the line. We'll have to wait and see. They might think the pricing's fine.
As I mentioned earlier, I've been a little bit quiet on the transfer front since last podcast. We thought there might be someone else coming through the door. That doesn't look like it's happened or is happening at this point in time. There has been a handful of rumours out and about floating around in on social media and through journalists, etc. We were linked with Sarkic, who we had on loan from Wolves a couple of seasons ago now.
Yeah,
did very well for us.
Come to Millwall.
I think he has gone to Millwall now, yeah. I'm not 100% sure how solid that link was. I felt like we may have been used as a bit of a pawn in that one, potentially.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't a position that we needed to strengthen at that moment in time.
Yeah, and next season, potentially. And it doesn't make sense at this. It doesn't, in terms of how much they were looking to pay for him.
Yeah, it wasn't a priority, was it? So the opportunity might have been there, and you don't know, discussions might have taken place. But if I'm John Eustace, I'm looking at that and I'm saying, well, we've got two capable keepers, one very good keeper. Well, two very good keepers, to be fair. I don't need to add to that right now. I need these positions.
The difference with Sarkic is obviously that he... it's very good with his feet, and whilst Ruddy is okay, it's a different level to Sarkic. And then you've got Neil Etheridge, who Bailey is,
by his own admission, would tell you that
it's not very good with his
feet. I'll save the ball. I'll kick it long.
that came from Alan Dixon on Sunday morning, I think, and he also mentioned that Jordan James was a target for a number of Premier League teams and some teams in Italy. If that's based on pre-season, great, because he has looked very good. But again, opposition in mind. Yeah, I'm not. He has had some interest before in the past, I think I recall. It seems like he was happy to stay. If, again, it's true, it seemed a very strange link to me personally, but... He would be best served staying with us for the foreseeable future.
I don't know if you saw it though, but someone put up a tweet about Alan Nixon with some screenshots of the things that he's linked Blues with over the last year or so, and he's been about as accurate as a blind darts player.
Well, it all started, didn't it, when he told us that, oh God, what's his name? Kerim.
Mrabti,
yes. Was Mr. still Abdi. In Turkey. Mr. Abdi. He said, no, he's still in Turkey at the moment. That no, he's literally having medical and he's about to sign for us. And then later that day, oh, it happened very quickly. Oh, yes, really quickly, Alan, yeah. Got a Concord from Turkey to straight into Birmingham's training ground for his medical. So Zach Gcock has been on trial at Gloucester. I think he played there a few seasons back when he was just 17 years old and did really, really well there. I foresee that maybe being his, he may have played his last game at Blues potentially. I'm not, he hasn't progressed in the same, in the way that I think the club expected. So it's a good chance he could move on permanently.
I can't remember whether we've spoke about it on the podcast or whether we spoke about it privately. But obviously, he had a loan and an injury. A loan to, was it Salford?
Where he Salford, just got, isn't it?
He was back up.
Play a single game, didn't yeah.
Or one or something. And it was just like, what a waste of his time. And I think that and injuries have held him back. And it's a massive shame because he was really highly rated and seemed to be destined for big things. Just hasn't happened. It's a massive shame.
Yeah, you've got Oliver Basie coming through now, and a few other younger kids. And you know, it's not out of the question that they look to move Neil Etheridge on. They might look to bring another, like a number two, in at some point. But it looks like Gcock's time at Blues might be numbered. A couple of other players that have moved on that I think they're actually released at the end of last season. We've got Aidan George, who's gone to Alvechurch today, I think, and then Jordan Graham, I believe, is just about to sign, or he has signed for Leyton Orient. So good luck to them in their future careers.
There's been one other rumoured incoming from Albion.
Yeah, what do you make of that? Because I have heard nothing from anybody that I believe would know, and no. They blank faces all around. Or
from Blue's side, I've got absolutely nothing. However, apparently the player himself has said that it's happening.
But it's like, yeah, I don't know. I've until he's well, they don't stand outside on the cop of a scarf, do they? But until he's outside Epic in a baggy training top, doing his interview, I'm reluctant to believe it. I just it doesn't, that technically sound player, I think, like, he can play in multiple positions. I spoke to my uncle about him, who used to work at West Brom. He worked at West Brom for a long time. He worked at Blues for a while as well. And he said, lovely lad, loads of energy. He's got something about him. He said he'd be very surprised if West Brom sold him to Blues. And I'm kind of, I know they sold Jonathan Lecco to us, but I think this is a different kettle of fish. I just can't see this happening. I don't know. I think it seemed to come from a baggy source. Would be nice, but I'm not 100% sure this is happening as far.
Yeah, we'll talk about that more if it happens as well.
If it does, great.
Yeah,
but I'm not convinced at all.
Should we move on to Wagner of the Week?
Wagner of the Week.
Right then, let's have it, lads. Wagner of the Week. Chewy?
Mine is going to be Colin Tatton, actually. His piece, you mentioned it earlier, about all the small things based on on his recent blog. It's great to see him back writing and getting involved with Blues fans, chatting with Blues fans online again. His piece about Trevor Francis a few weeks ago was fantastic, and this his latest piece as well. If you haven't read it yet, a bit about St Andrews and Jose Mourinho. Go and check it out, because it's a really awesome piece. And hopefully we get to see more stuff from Colin in the future, and maybe even get him on here at some point as well to talk about his experiences at Blues and stuff. Hopefully he's got some funny stories for us.
And if he doesn't agree, then we just kidnap him.
And I'll just rescind his Wagner of the week and send him to Cornet.
Wow, yeah.
Which will hurt him far more.
Vegan?
I'm going to say Scotty Hogan for putting away that one-on-one against Peterborough. Great to see him scoring, even if he may not end the season as the leading goal scorer, Chris.
I'm not going to put a bet on this year. So he might be.
That's exactly what we want you not to do. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, so, you know, him getting on the score sheet against Peterborough.
So my Wagner of the week is a guy called Paul Singleton. I don't know if you've seen it, but I think people will have seen it on Twitter or on socials. He actually went down and placed something at the Trevor Francis Memorial at the stadium with a little note that said, "This scarf, knitted by my dear mum, worn when Trev scored 4 goals against Bolton as a 16-year-old apprentice. For Trev with love, Paul Singleton." And I just thought, for someone to put something, I mean, there's lots of shirts and scarves and all sorts of memorabilia and stuff that's been put down, but for someone to put a scarf that your mum has knitted that you wore at the game, you can pinpoint the game that you wore it at. For me, hats off. That's some gesture.
Yeah, I kind of hope that they actually try and get it back to him afterwards. I think
the club have said that they're aware of it and they were looking after it.
Yeah.
So hopefully. But even so, to go and put that down, I just think that's a huge gesture, and hats off.
Okay, gents, on to the weekend in Swansea, opening game of the season. What are your thoughts?
Chewy?
If this was this time tomorrow and we knew what the team news was, I'd be a little bit more confident. I'm hoping Laird's back. Buchanan potentially might start. I'm wondering whether he might go with Longello, you know, though, just because Buchanan's only really been with us just over a week now, hasn't he?
I think, mate, if he was going to go with someone over Buchanan, he's going to go with like Scott Hogan or someone. We saw it with Jordan Graham last season.
He's not going to put Scott Hogan at left back, is he, you weirdo?
Did Jordan Graham play there for like half a season? Yes.
Well, he was right wing back, wasn't he? He played a little bit on the left, it's a difficult one because they're a good team. They've obviously got a new manager in Michael Duff, who did very well last season with Barnsley in League One. I have to think about that. Didn't register my brain properly. We've done pretty well the last couple of times we've been away at Swansea, haven't we? We won, was it last season we were like 2-0 down or 2-1 down? We ended up winning that 3-2.
I think that one was 4-3 with Trusty scoring in something like the 97th minute.
The one at
something.
The end. Yeah, the death.
Ah, correct. Yes.
Wasn't two goals in like after the 90th minute as well in stoppage time?
Yeah, I think Jukovic scored in the 90th or very start of additional time, and then Trusty even later on.
Wonder how many people on their way home at that point.
Yeah. So I probably would have been, to be fair. I know away games, probably not. Home games, so I've been known to leave early. We've done pretty well against Swansea in general, I think, over the past few seasons. I think we're unbeaten against them in the last 6. And so obviously that means unbeaten against them in the last 3 away games against them also, including that 4-3 win, which you've quite rightly corrected me there, Dave. Counts for nothing, though, does it? Because they've got a new manager, new players.
Hang on. Did you just say undefeated at Swansea?
Yes.
That's what is on the shirt then.
So it's on the shirt. All season, undefeated on the shirt. The stories write themselves. Yeah, it's just a hard one to call because I think they're a tough. I think by the end of the season, we could both be in very similar positions. I could see a sort of middling, mid-table, bottom, lower mid-table. Wouldn't surprise me.
Well, they'll be a bit more of an unknown entity for us as well because now they're not just going to be the team that passes it around 7,000 times a game.
Michael Duff's teams haven't really been really strongly possession-based, but, you know, I think he came in and said they like to play winning football, which normally means it normally means yeah, we're not going to pass it around the back for 45 minutes, and then so yeah, I don't know. It's a real tough one. I don't even what's the lineup going to look like? Do we know what the lineup's going to look like? Do we have an idea? Is he going to play four at the back? Is he going to go to wing backs? I can't see that personally, but we just don't know what they've been doing behind closed doors.
No, this is going to be the game that really sort of shows us what the plan is, I think, for the season as well. Everything else, like the pre-season stuff, just goes out the window and then all of a sudden it's like, you're in. Right, this is the team. Unpredictable for me. I think there's we've had these players that have come in, there's players that haven't got a lot of game time during pre-season. Do they get in? So it might not even be the team that goes on for the next few games that we see on Saturday, but
you'd expect. I still think there'd be three or four signings to be made later down the window at least. Yep. So it won't be the team, but we don't know. I still don't know. We don't know who's
here. Even in terms of the players that we've got there now, if people are struggling with fitness, and like you said earlier, whether Laird's going to be fit, then it might be a sort of patched up team just to get us through because of where we are. We'll have to see.
Would you take a draw now? If I offered you a score draw, would you take it?
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
Back yourself, Dave. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'd take not going 3-0 down within 13 minutes personally, but
yeah.
Baby steps.
Blame my dad for that one at that Peterborough game, by the way. He just sent me a message saying, at least the sun's shining. Are you watching this? I'm like, nah, I'm at a transport museum in Belfast. So I was having way more fun than he was, really. I'd take a draw, and I think it will be a draw as well.
Go on then, what's your prediction?
We'll go for a Desmond.
2-2. Dave?
2-2.
I'm going to go for 1-1.
A 1-1, a 2-2, and a 4-0 Blues. Come on. Come on.
At some point this season, I hope that comes true at least once.
So do I.
Not just because for us all.
No, I hope so for me, so that I can actually do proper predictions then. But, you know, it might happen.
It's going to take this winning 4-0 for you to start making proper predictions.
Yes. Yes. Yes, it is.
Quick word on Cheltenham Tuesday.
Yep.
Are we going to put out a second team, or are we going to go out? Do you think we'll go out and just play the first team? Do you think any of it depends on what happens against Swansea on the Saturday?
Pass.
And move. It's the Birmingham groove.
It's the Eustace groove.
It's the Eustace groove.
I don't know, mate. I don't know.
Let's just win it.
Let's
get through safely to the next round,
or just lose it and don't.
We need to create a winning habit, Chris. We need to change.
We need to remain mindset. Undefeated.
Maybe that's going to be your 4-0, Chris.
Maybe
Cheltenham is going to be 4-0.
Maybe. Well, there you go. 4-0.
2-0 Blues, obviously.
3-0 Blues.
Obviously, all Blues. Right. Enjoy the game at the weekend. If you go into the game, have a safe journey and a safe journey back, obviously.
Have a safe journey, but a disastrous journey.
I'm a really shit driver.
I'm out of practice. I'm really out of practice. Have a great away day. Until next week, when hopefully Matthew has got a better microphone and put some oil on his chair. Keep right on.
Keep right on.
Keep right on.